Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CACHEFLY.com. CashFly.
This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. Episode 26 for December 1st, 2007. Becky Worley, mother of twins. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. And by Kajit, the pay-as-you-go cell phone service that's right for kids and right for parents, affordable and totally customizable, no long-term contracts. See Kajit at your local Target or find out more at Kajit.com, K-A-J-E-E-T.com. Okay.
Okay.
You can hear me.
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
And I can hear the cars outside.
And you can hear the cars whizzing by on this frost-filled Saturday morning. It's time for Jumping Monkeys. You'll forgive me if I'm a little stuffed up.
Are you stuffed up?
No. I should be stuffed up. I just got back from Vancouver where I just avoided a snowstorm.
Yeah.
And now it's cold here. But, it's kind of wimpy of us Californians to complain about cold.
I know.
When they're actually literally freezing to death around the rest of the country.
It just feels cold because we won't put away our flip-flops.
You're wearing Crocs.
No, I'm wearing Crocs with socks, which is only on extra special cold days do I wear socks with my Crocs.
I actually bought my first pair of Crocs this week.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Congratulations. How do you like them?
I love them. And I got a lot of heat from, I put it on my Facebook, a picture of the Crocs saying, should I get the red or the brown? And I got a lot of comments, people saying, what are you doing? That is the ugliest shoes in history. I always thought they were ugly, but they are comfortable.
Yeah, they are comfortable. I don't think they're ugly. Otherwise,
people say,
I wouldn't wear them.
I've got a number of people saying they kind of smell a little bit.
Really?
I haven't.
No, that's the part of their thing is the anti-smell.
Yeah, and you throw them in the wash.
In the dishwasher, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think that's, I'm not worried about that.
Yeah.
But you don't wear them with socks? Don't they get a little sticky?
No, not really. They get a little dirty, but then you put them in the dishwasher. Yeah.
Have you washed yours in the dishwasher?
Uh-huh.
You have?
Yeah. No. I think you gave me that tip.
Yeah, Mario Batali gave me that tip.
Yeah.
So here's the question. Do you wash plates at the same time, or do you kind of do a separate load?
I don't do a separate load. That would be wasting water.
That's what I think.
No, I mean,
but
everything
my family
gets so
says,
hot
you're
in
not
there.
You're not washing your shoes in this. It hasn't come up yet because I just got them.
Yeah.
But they say you shouldn't, Dad.
I guess so. That is kind of gross. I actually hadn't thought about it.
So your kids aren't teenagers yet, so they don't. Teenagers. The good thing about teenagers is they give you feedback. The bad thing about teenagers is they give you feedback, and they're merciless.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a little kid, my sister said to my mom, "You have bear eyes. You have little tiny BB bear eyes," and my mom really took it to heart.
Aww.
It's sad, but now I realize as an adult. With teenagers that you just kind of, it washes off.
Yeah.
Like my birthday was this week. And my daughter, literally, she says, okay, so you're like 60?
Yeah, last year you were 50. This year you're 60.
It's 10 years every year. And you just kind of let that run off you. I guess after a while, it kind of gets on your nerves.
Yeah. You know what? Today is December 1st.
First day of the month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wanted to remind everyone, if you have an advent calendar, open up the first one. Yeah. Yeah, we opened up. Marco's parents gave us this big advent birdhouse.
Ooh, what fun.
And behind each door is a little bird, or well, behind the first one was a bird.
What kind of bird? Like a wood
little
bird?
Wooden bird. Yeah, it's a wooden birdhouse.
And
yeah.
Then what do you do with it?
You hang it on the outside, and it's really cute. Yeah,
so you can use that every year.
Yeah but it, man, it's like, I don't know if my I think Annabella has the patience for an advent calendar, but Milo and Huck do not have the patience.
Well, it's not so bad when it's just wooden birds in there. If there were chocolates in there,
right.
Forget it.
Yeah.
And my kids still, to this day, will go through all 31
really?
Days. Really? Boom, 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 boom. But so I love advent calendars.
Yeah.
So some of them have chocolate. One year, I gave them Lego advent calendars, where they actually build a Lego scene. You get little pieces each day. When Milo and Huck get a little older.
Yeah, the Lego.
They're a little young for your Lego now. But when they get a little older, that's a great toy.
I love advent calendars. Yeah, it is. It's exciting. Yeah, Annabella definitely has the patience. Like, she opened the first one, and then the boys wanted to open all of them, and she said, no, we can't open the next one till it's December 1st again.
Okay. So next year.
So she has the patience of a full year.
She's got a year.
I said, no, you have to do
tomorrow.
So we have the winner of our first contest.
We do. Should we play? I think we should play the...
Let's play it again. Yeah.
And then they can hear the answer.
This was to win Peanut Butter PC, which is software that it's a desktop replacement for kids. Help your kids surf the internet more safely. JR from Peanut Butter BC gave us some giveaways. So
which is really nice of him.
Also gave us this little mashup of Disney movies that we've played for a few weeks now.
You've heard them all.
Yeah, let's play
times.
Them again, and then we'll give you the correct answer and announce the winner.
Okay. You could stall a little
bit. Okay. Well, maybe I should do the winners first, and then...
You do the winners. Okay. While you're doing the winners, I will get the sound, and then... But don't tell the answer yet, because I want to play the sound,
okay.
And then... Have people hear the answers.
Well,
so you got how many?
I got about 200, maybe. I didn't count them all, but yeah, it was a lot. And the first person to get the correct answer was Joshua DeHart from Bel Air, Maryland. So congratulations, Joshua. And this was so hard that out of the 250, I only got one other correct answer, and that was from Daniel Miller.
Wow.
And so he also wins a copy of Peanut Butter PC. And thanks to JR for sending us those, and we'll get yours in the mail. And so we're going to play it again.
So what were the... Okay, should we say the answers? Let's play it, then
play
say
it,
the answers.
Yeah.
So this is these are the sounds.
Actually, you have one more chance to play at home.
Okay. Who is the fairest one of all?
Who am I? Who am I am the guardian of lost souls. I am the powerful, the pleasurable, the indestructible Mushu.
He is quite a catch, isn't he?
No, stop it.
Who's the brains in this outfit?
I love it. Oh, I stopped it. I was using Quick Look. There was my mistake.
My point exactly.
Oh, there's a big surprise. That's an incredible... I think I'm going to have a heart attack and die from that surprise.
Okay.
Okay. Wow. So the first one was the movie Snow White.
That's
that was the
queen. Yeah, let's do it. Here we go.
Magic.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows
right,
that one. That's easy.
Who is the fairest?
Snow White.
One of
okay.
The
ben.
Second one was kind of easy, too, because they said who the character was. It was Mushu, the dragon ghost from Mulan.
Who am I? Who am I? I am the guardian of lost souls.
See, I don't remember that. Love
I am the powerful, the pleasurable, the indestructible Mushu.
Mulan is a good girls movie.
Yeah.
Abby was
mm-hmm.
little when that came out, and mm-hmm. she loved it because the girl is so strong.
Right,
she's not
yeah.
a princess exactly.
No. Yeah.
You following this whole princess controversy?
Oh, yeah. It's what's is there a new controversy?
It's
or
the same old controversy
yeah.
about girls being princesses.
Oh, don't get me started.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Did you see Enchanted?
No, I didn't.
That's kind of a nice turn on it.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Maybe we'll go
it's the
that.
New Disney.
Yeah.
The new Disney with rodents and cockroaches.
Yeah. Thankfully, Annabelle is fading away from her intense princess.
I think she's almost old and she might enjoy Enchanted.
Yeah.
Because it's a twist. You know, it's about a Disney princess. And the evil stepmother throws her down a well and she ends up in New York City, modern times.
Oh, yeah.
And she's a real person.
Yeah.
And then the prince follows her and he's a real person. And then the prince's henchman follows him and he's a real person. And then finally the evil stepmother follows him and she's a real person.
Yeah.
Susan Sarandon.
Oh.
And it's funny because she's a princess and she has all the princess stuff, but she's in New York City. So she does the... And you know, when the robins come and make dresses and stuff, and then I can't hit that note. And then, but instead of birds, you know, it's pigeons and cockroaches and rats that come to clean
yeah.
up the house.
Oh.
It's so funny.
Yeah. I would like
it's,
to.
You would love this.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Really, anyway, next one.
Are you going to play it again? Or
quite
just...
a catch, isn't he?
Quite a catch, isn't he? That was a quickie.
That was Ursula, the Octopian witch from The Little Mermaid.
Isn't he?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it's Annabella once catch, told me that I looked like her. And she's very
See?
Ugly.
There
so,
you go.
Yeah.
Was she mad at you at the time?
I don't know.
She's not even a teenager.
I don't
you're
know
already
what it is. Yeah. The next one was the toughie. This was the hardest. This was the one.
No, stop it.
Who's the...
That was the one that most people didn't get, and that was Peter Pan. And most people
answered
Hook. But yeah. And
they had the right idea, but the wrong movie.
Right, exactly. And then the next one.
No, stop it.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
I'm sorry that there's a garbage man outside emptying the garbage. That may go on
just,
for a while. It looks like it's a cement truck.
Anyone
up.
Call us semi-professional.
Semi-unprofessional. Why is there a cement truck backing up? Oh, this could last a while. Well, we'll just have to live with it. All right, so.
Okay, and then that one that we just played was Timon. I haven't seen The Lion King. I know, sad.
Oh, Timon, yeah.
Timon, yeah. Timon.
Yeah, he's.
Point exactly.
Oh, there's a big surprise. That's an incredible. I think I'm going to have a heart attack and die from that surprise.
That was pretty good. Was that the last one that you just played? That was Iago, the parrot from Aladdin.
Yes, I recognize that. Yeah. That was hard. You had to have seen those movies and really remembered them, I think.
So I think everybody had so much fun with it that JR sent us another contest. And this one is the sounds of classic toys.
All right. So
and
we'll
last time, this was...
Do you want to do it now?
Yeah, let's do it now. There are six. There are actually six. Last time we were confused, but there are six.
Again with the confusion.
Yes.
Yeah, he was smart this time. He gave us six individual sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So this way, I know there's six.
Yeah.
Here's the first one. That's a tough one. I know them all, but I'm looking at the answers.
Right.
Looking at the answers, they're easy.
Yeah, but number six, there's a hint. That's not a typewriter.
No, but something with mechanical things in it.
Yeah.
Let's do it again. Does sound like a typewriter because of the at the end.
Yeah,
but the at the end is not what you think it is.
No.
It's something else happening, though.
I've never had that last toy. I had all the toys.
Every boy had that toy. There's a big hint.
That is a big hint.
Every boy in my generation had that toy. And I think there's a similar product still around.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Are you ready for the spend, save, give?
I am ready.
Okay. The first spend is a book that I'm really enjoying. It's by Michael Smith, and he actually sent me this in full disclosure. It's called Questions for Kids, and this is, you know, that book of questions, like for adults. Have you ever seen that book? This is for kids, and it's great because, you know, the thing about kids is they love to ask questions as, you know, what is that? Why is that? Why, you know, why does the grass grow? Why is that pink? And it's great to turn it around and ask them questions because I found that they really like that. Like, this is just... hundreds of questions. I think actually 1,000 questions. And they're just fascinating. Name something soft that you can see through.
Oh, these are great. They're almost like riddles.
Yeah.
Something soft you can see through.
That's question 491.
Does he give you the answers?
No, you just it's like there's lots of soft things you can see through. Like
dandelion.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah. Or they're like, what is a map for?
Oh, these are great.
They just kind of use your imagination. Yeah. Name four animals and make the sounds they make.
So, you know what? This is nice. Sometimes it's hard. At least it was my experience as a parent. That was sometimes hard, especially with the little ones like 3 and 4, to have a conversation with them that was at their level. And, and you couldn't really think of things to say. You know, and you get tired of saying, what'd you do in school today?
Right.
When you get a little older. So this is fun. It's conversation starters.
Yeah. I found that kids hate the question, what did you do in school today? That there's almost no question they hate more than, or how's school? And that's what you always ask.
Didn't you ask that? Weren't you asked that by your parents?
Oh, yeah.
Hate that?
Yeah.
I don't know why we come back to that because it's just the obvious thing, right?
Yeah.
It's because, like, how was your day, honey? I don't even like, how was your day?
Right.
They say be specific.
Yeah. Ask specific.
Jennifer's good is like, what one thing did you learn today that you didn't know you would learn today or something?
Yeah. I've also found it works to say, you didn't paint today, did you?
That's good.
Yeah.
Yes, I
no,
did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
So it's Questions for Kids. We'll put the Amazon link.
What a good idea.
And it's just an excellent book and good for like the holidays for long trips or on the plane or, you know, just sitting around and you're bored and, you know, it's cold outside.
It's
so
a conversation starter.
Yeah.
I really
like Questions for Kids by Michael Smith. And now here, the next is Save. I saw this tip on Parent Hacks and I remembered how much I like my motion sensing lights.
You have them?
Yeah. No, we have the ones, they don't turn on when you walk in, but if you don't turn them off, they'll turn off automatically.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah. I don't like the ones that turn off when you walk in because you don't always need the light when you go in. You know, if it's light outside and there's a window.
And it makes you
jump.
Just,
But I mean, I think you can save a lot of money and electricity just because my kids don't remember to turn off the lights. And I'm sure your kids probably don't even remember to turn off the lights.
As soon as Abby goes to school, sometimes she'll say, oh, turn off my light for me. But most of the time I just go up to her room and there's five lights on,
yeah,
which would burn all day if I didn't go turn them all off.
Yeah. So I think everyone should get the motion sensing lights if they're replacing their light bulbs.
They are really becoming our parents. Turn that light off.
Yeah, I actually, that's one of Annabella's, that's her only chore, and she actually likes to do it.
Oh,
to go around
chore.
Like when we leave the house, your job is to go around and make sure all the lights are off, because she likes it, because she gets to push the stool over to some, you
that's
know, lights
great,
and turn them off. Yeah,
see, you're such good parents, so much better than I am.
I am now. You probably did all these things when they were, you know, my kids' age, but
well, you know,
it's harder.
It's always the issue is it easier to do it yourself or to get the kids to do it? And of course it's always better to get the kids to do it,
right?
But it's a lot harder to talk Henry to take out the trash than just taking out the trash.
Oh, I know.
And so that's the hard thing. And you really have to kind of force yourself to get in this battle, even though the simplest thing would be just take it out. But it's important that they do that, right?
Yeah, I've found that, yeah, with cleaning up, too. I'm just like, oh, do I really need to get them to clean up? Or couldn't I just, like, put them to bed and then clean up?
Example. Our yard got TP'd this morning.
Oh.
I thought we were through this. We were done with this. It's happened five or six times. First few times, first time, you know, I yelled and they cleaned it up. And then I thought, wait a minute. What's happening is Abby's going to her friends and saying, you TP'd our yard, and giving them a lot of feedback. So what I decided to do, and it's worked actually the last few times, is I cleaned it up silently. She never knew it happened. Nobody ever knew I cleaned it up. It was like it never happened.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, this'll get them.
Yeah.
Because then they don't get any reward because nobody's screaming or yelling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. Her friend said, didn't you notice anything? She said, no. And she came to me and said, what happened to the toilet paper? I said, what toilet paper? So that's good.
So
but this time I can't do it. She's cleaning it up.
Yeah. I didn't think people still did that.
I wish they wouldn't. It's a stupid thing to do.
It's environmentally bad.
Yeah. There's like, you waste toilet paper. And by the way, that stuff's hard to clean, especially modern Charmin.
And when it gets wet.
It's right in there, and it's in the trees. We've had toilet paper in our trees for a year, and it was just all gone. Drives me crazy. Drives me nuts. Anyway.
All right, so now we got to give. Now,
motion sensing lights is great. Parent hacks.
Yes.
Good.
Good. Parent hacks, good.
Good.
Motion sensing lights, good.
Good.
TPing, bad.
Bad.
Okay.
Yes.
Very simple. Now, to the give. This is Robert Snow for Cancer Cure. This is interesting. I can't remember where I found this or if someone sent it to me, but Grace Lynn is a children's author, and she has this little children's story about a mouse. And her husband actually lost his fight against cancer this past year. And so this inspired her to contact all these other children's book illustrators and have them donate special snowflakes. And then they're being auctioned off to help find a cure for cancer. So there's one more auction left. There were three. We missed the first two. But I mean, if you're listening to this around when we release it, around December 1st, then there's one more auction.
You mean today?
Yeah. Today is when we're releasing this.
Yes. Isn't that wild? We usually take these ahead of time.
So you can go to jimmyfund.org to find out more information. And all the proceeds go to the Dana-Farber Institute. And
which is an amazing institute. The Dana-Farber Institute in Boston is just fantastic, the research they're doing. We've interviewed them on some of the director on Floss
really?
Weekly. Fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
And the Jimmy Fund has been around for years. That's the charity at Fenway Park where the Red Sox play. And I, as a kid, used to put coins in the Jimmy Fund can. So that's really neat.
Do you remember who Jimmy was?
Yeah, I mean, some kid. But you know, it's been probably 40 or 50 years for the Jimmy Fund. But boy, is it a neat, and it's still there.
Yeah.
They still have the old cans in the ballpark and everything.
Oh,
yeah.
That's great. Yeah. So for, you know, each week we talk about a way to spend, save, and give. And I haven't done this in the past, but I am going to start each time I recommend something to check in on Charity Navigator.
Yes.
Just to make sure. I mean, I don't think no one's emailed me and everything I have.
No, they've all been great. And
so,
this one I can vouch for. This is Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
But yeah, and this one, Charity Navigator, also vouches for it. So I'm going to be checking those, all of them.
Jimmy Fund was founded in 1948. Wow. So I guess Jimmy was a young boy in the hospital in 1948. They did a radio broadcast from his bed. He was 12 years old at the time, and he was a cancer patient. So that's kind of neat. The Boston Braves gave him a uniform. And I don't know what, let me see what happened to him.
So this is Robert Snow for Cancer Cure. We'll put the link up in the show notes. And this would make a great gift, I think, for a kid, too, like for your favorite. There's a lot of my favorite children's illustrators that have made these snowflakes. And I think it'd be great wall art for a child's room.
Wow. Jimmy survived, by the way,
and
was very active in the Jimmy Fund for years. So that's really neat. He lived for many years in Massachusetts, the home of the Jimmy Fund.
Oh.
And nobody knew who Jimmy was. Until 1998, the 50th anniversary of the original Jimmy Fund. And he said, he finally came forward and said, you know, it's me. His name is Elnar Gustafson.
Huh.
Isn't that a neat story?
That is.
Okay.
All right.
Along.
Should we talk about Audible?
Yes. Time to mention our great sponsor, the fine folks at audible.com. Audible is a great place to get your audio books. You can download them immediately. So it's kind of instant gratification. I used to get books by mail and it would take forever. And then you only had a month. With Audible, you keep the books as long as you want. You even have a library online. So if you want to download those books again, you can. Audible has 45,000 plus titles. When they started advertising with us, it was 35,000 plus. So you could see they're growing very rapidly. They work on hundreds of devices. You could burn them to CD, play them on any MP3 player, almost any MP3 player.
Do they play
player.
On the new Zune?
They don't play on the Zune.
The new one?
No.
Didn't they come out with a new one and fix some of the problems?
Yeah, but not that one.
Okay.
You know what they do play on? They play on the new Amazon Kindle.
Oh, really?
Amazon did a deal with Audible.
Oh.
It's really up to the manufacturer to get together with Audible and make that possible. But it does work on all the iPods, the Zens. I mean, almost any player. They even have some specialized players for people with low vision, for instance. So it's which, by the way, audiobooks are a real boon for. Audible.com, AUDIBLE.com. If you go to audible.com/monkey.
I think it's monkey.
Monkey singular. You will be able to sign up for a free book, and that's a really nice thing. So let's get an Audible pick, because I know you always have a good book for kids.
Now this might be an obvious choice, but because you could rent the DVD or watch special on TV. But I think that the Audible's reading of The Grinch Stole Christmas. Is really
well. You know
great
why? You know who does it?
Yeah, the original Grinch.
The
Walter
original
Matthau.
Grinch. Let's play a little. I gotta hear what.
Yeah, you gotta hear.
What
it's
he
it's
like.
Great.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas. The whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason.
It's like having your grandpa read it.
It is, yeah. And this is a great story and a great lesson about how Christmas isn't, just about the presents. And I know, I mean, I have it on our iPod, and it's a nice, respite from all of the Christmas music. Sometimes you can only listen to for so long.
Now, it's only $2.80 on Audible, and it's a 10-minute book, so probably better to buy that and then just use your credit for something else.
But you certainly
could use it for this.
For Pride and Prejudice or something.
Something I try to get really long books. I want to get my money's worth. More words per the dollar. You can go to audible.com/monkey and sign up today and get this book or any of the other book. Get a credit towards any of the other books. Some books are more than one credit, but really, really long ones. But we thank Audible so much for supporting Jumping Monkeys.
So should we see if we can find somebody else to talk to?
I want to talk to somebody who's having twins. Just don't you think that would be good?
Yeah.
Somebody's
because I'm not. I can't help you there.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just see here if we could find somebody who's having twins. Somebody who's having twins. You're not going to have any more twins?
Nope.
That's it for you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let me here. This person might be having twins. I'm just going to call them and we'll see.
We'll see.
Just could be.
Maybe someone blonde.
Somebody blonde?
Yeah.
Do blonde people have more twins? Hello, Becky Worley.
Do blonde people have more fun? Yes.
We know they have more fun. The question is, do they have more twins? Becky, it's Leo and Megan, and
hello.
Congratulations. I just found out you're expecting twins.
Oh, am I expecting twins?
That's so exciting.
I've thought of Megan so many times. I don't know how you did TV every day when you were going through this, Megan, seriously.
Well, I didn't do it when I was pregnant with twins. So, the first time it was just one. So,
oh,
but yeah.
It's tough, I think, even with just one.
Yeah, yeah.
You were in a rocking chair on Good Morning America.
Yeah, they thought that would be funny. You know, what are the reasons why a person should shop online for the holiday season? Geez, 7.5 months pregnant with twins. That's a good reason.
So you're due when?
I'm due technically January 23rd, but my main goal is to not have these kids on Christmas. They'll never forgive me. What do I do?
It'd be terrible.
Seriously.
It'd be terrible. Yeah.
I know. So then you have to have like a second birthday in June or something.
Yeah.
That's what people do.
I know. But I do want the tax write-offs. I mean, I'm thinking December 30th. Could be good.
Oh, with twins, do you get two dependents?
Oh, yes, yeah, you do.
Seems like you should
They're two children.
1.5 or something. Oh, that's a good deal. That's a very good deal.
What I was going to say is they're already sharing their birthday, so can sharing Christmas be that much worse? I don't
know. Right, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's going to work out. I'm just thinking good thoughts. I was looking at the list of all the Jumping Monkeys topics, and there were so many things I was interested in, like, sleep, why it's important. I already can't get any. It's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's what I remember being pregnant with twins. I kept thinking, well, at least I'll never be pregnant again.
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Me? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I can't say the same for Becky, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure. This is a one-shot deal.
Well,
I thought
good.
That I was having an only child, or full-focus child. I'm sorry, full-focus
Is that
child.
What they call it, full-focus?
Yeah, full-focus. I am a full-focus child, and so I thought, hey, a full-focus child, I'll do that. And then I got twins, and I now see the efficiencies and the benefits. It's huge. Very happy.
Yeah.
But you have two kids. Two kids is perfect,
yeah,
right?
You're getting it all out of the way
yeah.
right away. Mm-hmm. We said, Jennifer and I said when we had Abby, one, we were going to do a phone. We didn't have full-focus, but we were going to just do one. That was our mantra. We thought one. And then, you know, after you have one, you kind of think, oh, it'd be nice to have a second one to match the first one. So you're just having it all at once.
Yeah.
Are they fraternal or identical? Do you know?
Fraternal, boy and a girl.
Oh,
so you really are.
One of
you're just getting an instant family, just like that.
Pretty much. That's the goal.
That's really cool. That's really neat.
But it's been overwhelming. I mean, it is hilarious to be a tech reporter, a gadget reviewer, and to suddenly go into a world where you know nothing about all the gear. And you have to just dig in so deep and try and make these decisions that are going to really impact the quality of your life. It's been fascinating.
So what kind of gadgets have you seen that you think will be helpful?
Well, the swings and the chairs. They seem, anytime you can put one of these children down, that seems like a good thing.
So basically trapping them is the best idea.
Yeah. So do you have two swings? Yeah.
Say again?
Do you have two swings?
Two swings,
mm-hmm.
The double baby jail, otherwise known as the pack and play.
baby jail. so they make them for twins, or you just have two of them?
No, two.
They make them for twins.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's got a partition in between?
No, it's extra big, carries more weight, and you can put, they have, the way they come now, they start out with bassinets in the top.
Oh.
So you can put two bassinets in there.
Yeah.
So
they really should get used to this habitat because they're going to spend the next 3 or 4 years in there.
Right. That's right.
Well, they just sleep, yeah. My boys slept right next to each other for a while, just pushed up against each other.
Oh, that's cute because they're used to that.
Yeah.
And then
make them more comforted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What point did they differentiate and say, get away from me.
We moved them when they started like rolling over and licking each other's faces.
That's nicer than my friend who had twins who said she had to move hers when they started hair pulling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You'll get a lot of that.
Don't tell her about the biting.
So wait,
it's best she not know yet.
The swings, you don't have the battery power. Do you have the battery power or the crank?
Plug in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then they go forever.
Yeah.
We had wind up.
Yeah.
See, I feel like we're in like a...
Yeah, that's kind of old school.
Well, I had the wind up too.
Yeah.
I like the wind up rather than battery power because then you're always changing the battery, but...
Yeah.
Plug-in's good. Wind up, though, they run down.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want them to run down because then they cry.
Yeah, we don't like crying. There'll be no crying from
us. Yeah.
No,
is there a gadget?
The rules early.
Yeah. Now, Kat Schwartz was on, and she told us about a gadget that you can tell how you can interpret a baby's cry. Have you gotten that?
No.
I think it was called the Baby Why Cry.
Why, baby? Why?
I didn't
believe
it.
You know, there was
it.
A product like that from Takara Toys for your dog's bark.
Right.
It was made by the same company.
Same exact product.
Probably, yeah.
No changes whatsoever.
Food. I want to go out to poop.
It is. It's the same thing. Yeah. Food, poop, sleep. What more?
Yeah, exactly. It's very basic, fundamental stuff. So this is exciting. I'm so happy.
Yes,
for you.
It's the whole balancing work and kids and pregnancy, and that's been a trip, man. To be on TV, and you know, you can only buy so many black maternity shirts. And to hide the whole bump thing.
Are you going to stop for a little while? What are you going to do?
I'm going to take 3 months off.
Isn't that funny? Even though you're self-employed, you're still only going to give yourself 3 months.
I know, right?
It's worse if you're self-employed. There's no one to pay you if you're on.
It's terrible. Yeah. In this business, it's like, what? You're going to lose all your gigs? I don't think so.
No.
So
yeah.
Good Morning America's been great, though. I mean, I think they dig the fact that their talent get pregnant because they're on-air talent. None of them have kids.
Oh.
So they really like it when the kind of peripheral contributor types show up.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so true. Like in, I just recently saw Knocked Up and there was that line where they're like, TV loves pregnant. And it's true. It's true.
I didn't know that, but it's true. We loved you when you were pregnant.
Well, yeah, because it's something people can follow. And I also think people like to watch people that are slightly uncomfortable on television.
Is she going to barf?
Can't breathe. Kind of walking with difficulty. Sure, that's great. That makes good TV. Yeah.
Cameramen are always dropping things. Can you pick that up?
Oh, that's so mean.
No.
I don't think so.
So you're going to be writing reviews for Yahoo also?
Yeah, and I actually do video reviews for them on gear, and 2.5 minutes, and they're really a little bit sort of the lighter side in terms of it's not as in depth as say something that Tom might review or somebody on CNET might review. It's more what's your feeling about this? What's the take a look at it? Does this fit your needs? And so they've asked me to transition and do some baby stuff. And I thought, gee, that's a great excuse to get free baby stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a great excuse to learn about baby stuff. So that'll be kind of an interesting sidebar when that pops up. But definitely, I'm in that space where I have this dilemma. I'm sure you guys too have this too, where there's the stuff quotient could go so high.
Mm-hmm.
How do you limit all the stuff that is just being inundated at you and weed through and figure out what really makes a difference?
Yeah, it's hard because, I mean, it's interesting. I have a baby shower to go to tomorrow and I was looking. I never like to look on people's baby registries because I know they always register for the wrong things. And I feel
that's
like...
That's funny. You know better.
Yeah, I feel like after, having 3 kids, I know what they need better than they do. It's like, when people get married and they register for weddings, at this point, you kind of know. I know how to live. I know what kind of china I want. I know what kind of glasses and whatever. But with babies, you just haven't done it before, so you just sort of on Amazon I don't know, that thing looks good, and I guess I need those things that snap up the side with
you
the
really
hose
don't
and
know. You're exactly right. You're
and
what are some good examples of the worst things people register for?
Oh, that is a good question. Well, a lot of times I think people
clothing is always a problem because they don't understand.
You don't know. Yeah. And clothing. Yeah. And it's not like it could be just the worst for your
onesies.
Baby.
Just
sometimes
get a million onesies.
Yeah. But sometimes people, babies don't like things pulled over their heads. So you have to have the snap around, but you don't know if that's kind of baby. I think a lot of times people are wary of registering for things they'll need later on, like a high chair. You just think, oh, I can't imagine my baby ever sitting up and needing to eat. But those are the things.
You do need those, and those are expensive.
Right.
Little baby stuff isn't that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We did cloth diapers for a month until we realized that they don't work that
well. Well, the baby wipes warmer, I think, that's the big example of the thing you do not need.
You don't need that?
I
need that. I like warm baby wipes. That's a great
idea.
That's
a different podcast. Yeah. We can go into that later.
You never, as an adult, you never use baby wipes until you have a baby. And then, even after the kids grow up, you still have, we have baby wipes everywhere because they're very, now they call them something else, grown up baby wipes. But they're the car steering wheel, you have sticky hands. You're always... Once you get used to having wipes everywhere, it's very handy.
Yeah.
You don't want them to smell like baby powder, though. So
yeah.
It sounds like kids are just generally goopy for about 10 years.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't matter which orifice.
And then you get to my age and it's the other... Yeah, anyway, never
mind. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry. I apologize for that.
I think we're going to give a shot to... We're going to go... with the G diaper. And then we're going to try that with disposables. And these are supposedly the way the G diaper works is it's a reusable exterior and a compostable interior.
Good idea.
And I'm going to give it a shot, but yeah. I read a great article in Wired about the actual environmental impact of cloth diapers and disposables. And when people use a service for cloth diapers, it's way more taxing on the environment than disposables are when you look at the overall effect.
Driving and washing.
But right before we had a baby, Consumer Reports, and this actually gave me permission to go to disposables, Consumer Reports had a study. And they said in areas where there's a landfill issue, you don't have enough landfill, it makes sense to use reusable diapers, to use cloth diapers. In areas where you have water pollution issues or air pollution issues because of the trucks and the washing, it makes sense to use disposables. So it's kind of a push. The problem is those cloth diapers, at least in my generation, 15 years ago, they leaked and it wasn't practical.
I think they're better now, but I don't know. This is one of those things where it's like, I'm sure we'll get a lot of phone calls and mail about
conversation.
Yeah, because it's like disposable. This is just the beginning. Disposable, you know, or pacifier, no pacifier, nursing, no nursing. Yeah. You know, it's just, yeah. It's,
well, you got a nurse.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Moo. I've been looking online for 7 pairs of Holstein patterned pajamas.
Yeah.
I think that'll, if I get the uniform, it'll help me to accept my plight.
Yeah. My father-in-law once asked me if I felt like a gas station, like people just always coming by to fill up.
Well, especially with twins, right? I mean, you kind of always doing that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
A nursing pillow. That's something that you need. The inflatable one.
I got the twin one.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, there's one for twins?
Yeah. You need it because you got it. Yeah.
You got two.
If you can master nursing them at the same time, though, you're a better woman than me. I could never do it. But
can I drive at the same time?
No.
With your knees.
No, you can't.
Yeah, I'm amazed. So a friend of you guys know, Lindsay Arendt just had a baby.
Oh,
that's neat.
Max, about 6 weeks ago. And, you know, that there will be no multitasking, but you can't really assimilate that into your brain when you've for the last however many years you've been the queen or king of multitasking, especially in TV where everything's deadline oriented. You have to do everything at once. Of course we're capable people. We'll be able to make phone calls and work on that photo project and take care of the kids, and I can't get it through my head that that's not going to happen. And watching Lindsay go through it, it's like, oh yeah, this is really, that's how it's going
to
go.
Yeah.
Do you find that you get so tired that you have to, you can't not do it? I mean, Megan, I mean, doesn't it force you to just because you can't do anything more?
I think the first time around, you know, I just had one baby, so I wasn't so tired, and I really did think I could do it all. I mean, I remember my postpartum mania, when I think about it, was defined in the fact that I came home from the hospital, Annabella was asleep, and like the first thing I did was check my tech TV email.
Oh,
and it was
bad.
Just so ridiculous. Like, what would possibly, like, I was on maternity leave. What could possibly have been in that email that I needed to read? Nothing, you know? It was just insane. And now I think back, but the second time around, I don't think I did that. I just like shut off and I, you know, focused more because I had to. Brushing my teeth was like the most multitasking that I could do. But yeah, I mean, it's
Give something to Becky here. It's a pleasant, wonderful experience, right? Just give her something.
It is a wonderful.
Hold on to here.
It is a wonderful experience when they come out and they put them on your chest and you get to look at them and it's amazing. Yeah.
Well, I believe that. You guys know what a maternal, warm, fuzzy, kind of loving person that I am.
You are.
I exude the Madonna kind of an image. Yeah. So this is a natural transition.
So I just
want to
know, how
course.
Soon before the kids are playing rugby?
Yeah.
Well, I had my nesting mania. You know, my theory is if I had the nursery done, I would go to term. And one of the things is I hung up all the baby clothes, including they have 7 or 8 different rugby jerseys that are teeny, teeny, teeny. We're getting them ready early.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Faye.
Hey,
is Abby really 15?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh my.
She sure is.
Oh, Henry.
Yeah, he's 13. They're teenagers. You remember them, you know, them on the show when they were just little kids. We had them on Call for Help.
I can remember that so vividly.
Yeah.
They were the cutest kids with their little glasses and all. Yeah. They're still,
you know, Abby's practically a grown-up now. In fact, she wants to, next year, we may be losing her because next year she'll be a junior. She wants to do a junior year abroad.
Wow.
So she'll be gone a whole year, and then she'll come back to senior year, and then she's gone for good. So it happens really quickly, Becky. I don't know if that's a blessing or a curse, but just so you know.
Well, someone said to me something really interesting. They said the toddler baby years seem to go on forever, and then once they're in school, it's like the next thing they're in college.
Yeah, that might be true. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so I hear that from a lot of people. It's one of the huge benefits, I think, of doing this a little bit later in life. You know, I'm 36, and I feel like the reasons why I decided to have a kid or a kid was that I was kind of over me. Like I was,
yeah.
You know, I like me.
Yeah.
I'm big on me. I'm a fan. But I was over me and ready for the next thing. And so I feel like I'm at that place where I can hopefully dig in and really enjoy some of those things and, you know, dial down the ambition, you know.
I think that's a very good way to put it, and I think that's exactly what happens. It does become, you know, you become a broader person because of it.
Yeah, I was really verging on serious megalomania. You know, it could happen, so thank God I'm having two.
So have you reserved the domain names of their names yet?
No.
Hurry.
Well, see, I just thought they could be subsets of BeckyWorley.com/
oh, yeah.
X or Y.
Yeah, sure. That'll work for a year or so.
Do you remember back, it had to be, I think, in 99 when someone contacted, I think you and me, about taking over the domain the Whirly Wide Web.
Now, don't you wish you had it now? What happened? Did you say no?
I said no because, well, they wanted me to, it was basically a place where whirlies could talk about themselves and communicate with other whirlies. Like, why that's important, I have no idea. But, you know, and at the time I thought, geez, I should just take this over, let it die, and then keep the URL for myself.
I would. I think that's great. Apparently nobody has Whirly Wide Web or it's not active right now, so maybe you should.
I'm going to have to go back and look for that now that there are, you know, other whirlies that are.
You have about an hour before this podcast comes out.
Yeah.
Hurry. Do you, I don't, it's always a sensitive issue to ask about names, and you certainly don't have to tell us what the names are unless you are sure about it and you want to tell us.
You know, because we've let the sex out, we've decided, you know, we'll wait on that. And there's also a little bit still more discussion, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's such a hard thing. I mean, I have to say, I mean, how do you pick something that stays with someone for their whole life?
I know.
And defines them. And you know, I never really felt like a Becky personally, because it just sort of goes,
Hey, Becky.
Hey, Becky, what's up? Becky Sue, Becky Jean, Becky Lee. But I tried to be a Rebecca when we started Tech TV.
I remember
Tech
that.
Live.
Nobody.
It was,
nobody.
I got glasses. And yeah. I was Rebecca Whirly.
No,
it was
sorry.
So I've sort of been in limbo my life, you know, with that name. And I take it very seriously. So I'm holding out.
Okay, here's another. You're actually our first pregnant guest that we've ever had. So it's good to ask you these questions. Will you start a mommy blog?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I will probably do the whole, you know, videos on gear. And unless, you know, Yahoo decides they really want to run with that, I probably won't. Just because, you know, I think I got to get back to work on the stuff that I normally do. So, I mean, maybe it's a whole new avenue, and obviously it's been great for, you know, to read what Cats had, and I always check in on Jumping Monkeys, and, you know, that's kind of cool. But for the moment, I think I'm going to stick with the mainstream. I'll tell you something that's been really interesting for me has been exercise and pregnancy / mommy stuff. So that has sort of been a sidebar interest that's really piqued my attention, and I may continue with that. I
That'd
mean,
be
I,
a good area for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, because you've always been an athlete.
I did a ton of research when I first got pregnant about exercising and being pregnant, and it's fascinating how the change in what people have thought. Originally, people thought when you're pregnant and you work out, it takes blood away from the baby.
Oh.
And after 20 years of researching this, this one doctor, he realized that the placentas of moms who exercise are 20 to 25% larger than moms who don't. And that's because when mom's exercising and there's a deficit in oxygen and blood and nutrient, the placenta goes, whoa, I got to compensate for this. It gets really big. And what ends up happening is the kids are fundamentally healthier because it's big all the time. And it gives you 20% more nutrient and blood to the kids. So it's actually, they've now changed their prescription and say moms should definitely exercise while they're pregnant. And it's really changed sort of, and I don't think that perception amongst pregnant women has caught up.
That's interesting. Of course, under doctor's care, and you want to take it easy. You're not gonna be running a marathon as a pregnant.
No, and that's the thing, is kind of keep up with your current, whatever you've been doing. I mean, there are people who will run 10Ks all the way up until their eighth and ninth month. But those are people who are hardcore competitive athletes to start with.
Right.
That's
very interesting.
So are you still playing rugby?
You know, I've really drilled that down a little bit.
Rugby with twins. It could be a really good book, I think.
No, I mean, I've done, you know, I biked until probably 4 or 5 months where I couldn't reach the handlebars anymore.
But that would be a good kind of exercise because it's low stress, low impact.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tons of swimming.
Swimming's great.
Tons of, you know, and lifting. Lifting has been really helpful, too, because there's so much atrophy that goes on. You know, my butt is just gone. What happened?
Well, and you're going to need that muscle mass, trust me.
It'll come back, hopefully.
She used to always accuse
something like that.
You used to always accuse me of male pattern ass loss, but I
MPAL. It was MPAL. Chronic at Tech TV.
I've been working on that. Anyway, it's so nice to talk to you. You're just, you sound like you're really doing great.
I'm really happy. You know, life is good. And I have had such a great experience with people being positive about, you know, the whole pregnancy. And I was hosting a show for the Travel Channel, and it was about treasure hunting. And so we were out on the road, pickaxe and digging, and they wanted me to do a second season right when I found out I was pregnant.
Wow.
So they went ahead and did the second season and got a new host.
Oh.
And it's just coming out now, and I get mail, you know, all the time from people saying, where are you? What happened?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
And I think, well, you know, between the pickaxe, the 100 degree days and maternity jeans, I didn't think this was a good idea. So I'm really happy, and I'm looking forward to what comes next. And you guys will probably get calls from me going, guys, how do I?
Well, we wish you all the best. It's really great.
Yeah. If you have any twin questions, you just let me know.
I'll hit you up, Maroney. Watch out.
Okay.
Take care, guys.
Thank you so much. Thanks. Becky Worley, great to talk to you. Becky, of course, we didn't really introduce her. We just called her.
Yeah.
So for those who wonder who Becky is, she was the first producer of the Screensavers and Call for Help, was a host on Tech Live, as you heard, and later hosted Call for Help briefly, and is now does a lot of television. And, of course, Good Morning America. She's their tech reporter. She's probably much better known now than she ever was at Tech TV. So you knew who she was.
Yeah, my mom actually is a big Good Morning America watcher, and she was like, "Oh, I saw Becky the other day, and she's pregnant with twins. And did you know?" And she TiVo'd the episode, and Becky just looked great. Like for a while, I thought maybe she just had like a fake belly on because the rest of her body looks totally normal. Like her face looks so thin, and yeah. So.
I hate that kind of person. She's always been an athlete and
an
extremely good training. And we joked about rugby, but until recently, she was a champion rugby player, played on the U.S. women's team, and has played, I think, for Stanford. I can't remember, but she's a really, really good rugby player. And had both knees reconstructed. I mean, he's gone through a lot of rugby injuries. And I asked her why she plays. She said, "You don't want to know me if I don't play." But she's obviously in great spirits, and she's just so great to talk to her.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll be keeping up on that and announce when she has those babies.
Any day now, it sounds like. She sounds like she's ready. What is considered full term? 38?
Well, 34 weeks. It's pretty safe after 34 weeks for twins.
Yeah, because twins want to come out early.
Yeah. I don't know what full term is, but, you know, 40 weeks.
40 is normal.
Normal,
term,
yeah.
And I know even in a tough pregnancy, if you get to 38, you're more than fine.
Yeah, I got to 37.
Did you?
Yeah.
I think that's probably
they were
unusual.
7.5 pounds. So any more
that
than
was
that,
enough. So that's 15 pounds together.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. I recently read that the human womb is not intended to carry more than 10 pounds.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Should have told the babies that.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So you ready for the YouTube video?
The video of the week.
Now, this came from Mike Chambers, who is a Jumping Monkeys listener. And he and his family, they're from Australia, and they made this little video. And you know the Baby Einstein videos. They're just like, they just started with just a woman and her toys and video. And this is kind of, it's, you know, it's kind of the homemade Baby Einstein. We can play a little bit of it. A lot of it is you'd have to watch. And we'll put the link in.
Well, we'll just hear a little bit about it. They're playing some music. Kids riding around on his motor scooter.
Well, come on. Kids want a little action.
It's excellent for entertaining a toddler, I found.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the kid is...
Kids like to watch other kids, and there's just like little...
And then there's a little duck. Five little ducks went out on one day.
Five little ducks
and that's the whole family singing, the mom and dad.
Oh, that is sweet.
It's really cute.
So they're basically making a homemade kid video.
Yeah, it's 8 minutes long, and... I highly recommend it if you're going on a long trip. Now, is it on the iPhone? Can you put YouTube videos on the iPhone, or does it? Or they pick the videos to put on?
You can. You'd have to search for it, and you can get any video, I think, if you search for it. So, it's I guess search for ABBIE and me, all one word.
Yeah, Abby and me.
And that's who did it. That's the person who put it together.
Yeah, so I think it'd be great for, like, if you're going on a long trip or something, just to, you know, just to keep entertaining.
There should be a category, because I see, you know, unrelated videos, I see a ton of nursery rhymes, kids videos that other people have made. There should be, like, a category for this.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, they're just, like, someone putting their own videos to a nursery rhyme, but I think they really did a good job. Like another segment, he's peeling a banana and cutting it up, and like my kids are really into watching that because they eat a lot of bananas and it's just fascinating to them.
He's done 5 videos now, so just search for ABBIE and me, and you'd get at least this 5. And yeah, you could play it on your iPhone. There is a way that you can download these and store them and put them on YouTube. I mean, put them on iPod or Apple TV or even you know. But you have to go through a little bit of a rigmarole.
So, yeah, we'll put the link at Jumping Monkeys. And thanks, Mike. And do you want to talk about our other sponsor?
Khajiit! Is it Khajiit time?
I think it's Khajiit time.
Don't you just love the name?
It's Khajiit time.
It's Khajiit time. Khajiit is the cell phone for kids and for parents. And that's one of the reasons I like Khajiit. Khajiit is, first of all, they're not kid phones. They're real phones from LG and Samsung and Sanyo. I mean, nice looking phones. If you go to the website, KAJEET.com, you can see the phone. So this is appropriate not only for 8 and 9 year olds, but even 10, 11, 12 and 13 year olds, 15 teenagers, because they're getting a real phone and they can text message and they can, you know, it's not controlled. I mean, it's not limited except what you say. So there's a control panel for parents, which is so cool. Mm-hmm. And you can say when they can use the phone, what they can do with the phone, who they can call. So the parents are in control, but the kids get a real phone. Also, pay as you go. There's no contracts. So that's nice. That's a nice feeling.
It's also, it has a Sprint backbone service. So that's the, you know, it's
pretty
know
good
that. Service. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Yeah. What they this is a new kind of thing where you can have, I can't remember the name of it. It's an NLOP or something, but you can piggyback on top of an existing service and provide additional features. And that's what Khajiit has decided to do. Take a look. If you go to the website, take a look at the online configurator, because that'll give you an idea from a point of view of parents what you can do with Khajiit. You can manage their time, how they use the phone, when they use it, make sure they don't use it during school. You've got a contact manager, so you can manage who they can call. You have a wallet manager. How much money is in the wallet? So if you want to, as they get older, say, okay, you can buy a ringtone every month. You can give them that capability. The phones start at $59.99. You can get them right now at Target stores, KAJEET.com. Khajiit. This is a sponsor I'm really glad to have, because I think this is something I wish I'd had when I had kids in that age category. Now that they're too old and they're spoiled. They wanted to keep their phone. Although, you know, Abby's phone is starting to wear out. I think I might get her a Khajiit phone. Mm. I don't think she'd mind that. Yeah. But these are beautiful phones. And, you know, you, with phone number portability, you just move it over to this phone. You know what?
Right.
Guess what? Abby's going to get a Khajiit. I just decided.
Are you going to let her only call certain numbers?
Well, what do you think I should get her? The katana? This is pretty. The pink katana.
Oh, the pink katana is. I have the blue katana.
You do?
Uh-huh.
The Samsung M300 is very nice. That's the $59.99 model. There's the LG. I don't know. And they even have a Nokia now.
Ooh.
The 6165i. Ooh, camcorder, camera. This might be right for her. Yeah. Anyway, KAJEET.com. We thank them so much for their support of Jumping Monkeys.
All right. Now I have a few more links to talk about. The first one is Safe Mama. Now, there's been a lot of talk about recalls and, you know, just lead and paint in the toys, and it's just crazy. So, have you heard of the Moxie Girls, Leo?
Yeah.
They have a new book about blogging.
Oh, neat.
And one of the Moxie Girls, Kathy, she's a web designer, she developed this site, safemama.com. It's
really
your one-stop child safety product recall health and well-being resource.
Isn't that great that... you know, you get a need, you see a need, you can do it right away and just put that site up. And it's a great site with lots of content.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. It's really good content. And yeah, I really like it. So safemama.com, put it in your RSS
Nice blog.
RSS
this is
reader.
A WordPress blog. But boy, they sure did a nice job.
Yeah, it is nice. And lots of information, lots of reviews. And yeah.
Safe Mama.
Safemama.com. All right, now here's an article that someone sent me that was very interesting. For toddlers, toy of choice is tech device.
Really? Even for toddlers?
Yeah. And it's the kids do not want to play with fake gadgets. Don't give them a plastic cell phone. Uh-uh.
They want know the better. Real See, my kids thing. Were fooled by the fake cell phone.
Yeah, not
They
anymore.
Flipped it open and they could record their voice. And Henry loved that.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
No.
He wants
kids
a real
want
cell phone.
Real cell phones. Yeah. They want real laptops. Don't give them the kid laptops.
Really?
Yeah. It's interesting. Very interesting article. They talk about Khajiit, actually, in this article, too. Like that, you know, kids want
a real
cell phone.
Phone.
Yeah. And I just thought this was interesting because I don't think my kids are going to get tech gadgets for the holidays this year. I don't think I've decided they're not ready yet. But I'm wondering, I thought maybe.
Now, wait a minute. This was Eunice Kotaki of San Bruno, California, bought the Fisher-Price Knows Your Name Dora cell phone for her twin year-old daughters.
Uh-huh.
One year old. A few days later, she returned the play phone. The girls preferred the actual phones.
Yeah.
They can't even talk, barely. They say, Mama, Dada.
Yeah.
But they want a real phone.
Yeah, that's what happens in my house.
Wow. Well, so, they see mom and dad using them, I guess.
Right. I think that's it. And so, yeah, I was wondering if our listeners, how many people were going to get tech gadgets for their kids. I thought people could give us a call.
I'd love to hear about
tell
that.
Us.
Yeah.
Yeah, our number. You want? I can,
go ahead.
I have our number right here.
Go ahead.
It's 707-981-4602. So give us a call. Tell us if you're getting tech gadgets for your kids this year and how old your kids are.
In this New York Times article, they talk about the Leapfrog products, which mm-hmm. I think are really good kids products. So do the kids not like those, though? I mean, are they too young for them?
I think the kids really do like
my
the
first
Leapfrog.
Computer. Because it is a computer.
Yeah.
I mean, it uses a TV screen, but there is a computer. There are games in there.
But just like, you know how you used to have like the plastic fake telephone?
I see. One that doesn't work at all.
Yeah, one that does. Yeah, that's not. Yeah, well, it's funny to give kids like your old-fashioned telephone toys because they're like, well, what is this? I don't want to play with this. It doesn't even look like your telephone.
You wouldn't use it, Mom and Dad. Why yeah. should I?
Yeah.
That's funny.
So, yeah, it's interesting. I'll put the link in our show notes to the article and give us a call, 707-981-4602, and let us know if your kids are getting tech gadgets for the holidays this year.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so now I'd like to talk a little bit about
Father,
the new dad.
The new dad. It ain't me. I'm the old dad.
I have a question to ask you,
yes.
old dad.
Old dad, yes.
Does being more of a father make you less of a man?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But that's
even among my male friends, I don't think so.
Yeah, but it's interesting. I mean, there is this new dad is catching on in the mainstream media. I think,
wish
finally.
I think most of us dads who unfortunately still are a little bit in the old paradigm where we're working a lot, we're not around a lot, wish we could be more of the new dads.
Yeah.
I would love to spend more time with
kids. Well, I think that the new media is helping the new dad. Just because it's easier to work at home and, you know, because a lot of these dads, they're not just not working at all. They're writers or, you know, that's why we're starting to hear about it because they're writing articles about it because that's what they're doing when the kids are napping. So there are two interesting articles in Time and Newsweek, which I would call the mainstream media. one is Dad 2.0 that's written by Lisa Takuchi Cohen and Lev Grossman. And it's just kind of asking about whether fatherhood turns men girly.
Well, no, I think, in fact, that's why it's important. We parent differently than women. Much so. I mean, my, you know, Jennifer will come home when I'm taking care of the kids in the evening and she's, you know, working or not, you know, going out or whatever. And my parenting style is very different. And I think it's upsetting to her a little bit because she said you had pizza. Or whatever.
Right.
But that's how dads do it. And I think it's important to get the both sides of that equation.
Yeah. You know?
And I say, look, this is how, when I'm with the kids, this is how I do it.
Right.
You can do it when, how you do it when you're with the kids.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's not like we're at odds with each other. We I don't undermine her rules and things, but we just do that. We might have take out pizza for dinner instead of a home cooked meal, or we might watch a movie. Or I let him play video games. She doesn't like him to play video games. Things like that.
Yeah. I think it's important to have different parenting styles. Yeah. I think that is really important. I think this article is more focused on the dads who are more of the full-time caregivers.
Well, that's interesting.
And, yeah. I mean, because then they're eating pizza, playing video games, and watching movies all the time.
That may not be a good... See, I know that I'm the spice. If I thought I were the main course, I might be a little more like Jennifer.
Yeah. And this other article in Newsweek, I have to read you this. It's by Brian Breaker. I forgot what the article is called, but this one in Newsweek, it's one afternoon.
Just don't call me Mr. Mom.
Right. Just don't call me Mr. Mom. One afternoon when my daughter Freya was 6 months old, she was sitting in my lap at my parents' kitchen table. I was chatting with my folks when I caught a familiar odor. I did something that my pre-fatherhood self could never have envisioned, an olfactory diaper check. I hoisted her up and sniffed her bottom.
Well, why not?
My father flinched. Did you just stick your nose in her butt? Well, yeah, I replied.
Obviously, he never parented.
I thought she might need a change. In 30 years of parenting, I don't think I ever sniffed a single butt, yours or your brother's.
What?
My mom raised an eyebrow and shot back, no, I don't believe you ever did.
Yeah, well, that's the difference.
So that, I mean, I think you're part of that more. Like,
oh, I
that.
Sniffed
you
were, butts.
Yeah, so yeah. I think that really is like the old old generation of I would never have changed a diaper. I don't know how to do that, you know, and it's interesting. I think, yeah, the new...
Yeah, I changed a lot of diaper. I was the first to change a diaper. Well, that's usually the case, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because busy.
I mean, we have a lot of... this podcast comes on your network, so which is primarily male. So I think it's interesting that we have so many people that are interested in it, parenting.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of times just the outlets that dads have, like some of the moms magazines are, you know, the parenting magazines are really for moms. They're not for dads. And I think that's changing.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, I think that's appropriate. I didn't realize you were talking about full-time parenting, and that's very interesting.
Well, I think it's both. I mean, I think, you know, there are more dads staying at home and more moms working, and there's more people, you know, couples splitting it.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's good for the kids, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and certainly good for the moms.
Right.
Why should they be saddled with the whole thing?
No,
although,
they should not.
You know, again, pizza, video games, I may not have the same maternal instincts. Now, that's
a
question.
I like pizza.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Kids I know, in fact, the kids I know who are raised by their dads full time, there's a couple of families in Petaluma whose moms were working. One's a doctor, and the dad was home full time. They're great kids.
Yeah.
They're great kids.
Yeah, so, pizza does that. Pizza, video games, and movies.
There's nothing wrong with it.
All right, so now it's time
for
some listener mail.
Mailbag. You got some? I got some.
Do.
I got a lot of calls.
Okay, so let me start with maybe one email and then you'll do a call?
Sure.
Okay. This comes from Jamie. She says, Jamie says, I wanted to mention something about the Identikey episode. The Masonic Lodge in Missouri has a program called MoChip, mochip.org, M-O-C-H-I-P. And he's helped his father's lodge do this. They enter personal information, including doctors, relatives, take 3 digital photos and scan fingerprints. And they have a dentist do a dental imprint.
Wow.
And it's sealed in a bag immediately without rinsing. So they have the DNA sample.
Great.
and all the information is encoded in a CD-ROM. Nothing is saved on a server. It's only on CD. The CD encoding is designed to upload directly into the state and federal law enforcement databases.
That's a good idea.
And can even be uploaded directly via the computer in a police vehicle.
That's fantastic.
And they do it completely free of charge. So, you know, it's mochip.org.
I bet a lot of fraternal organizations and so forth are doing that kind of thing. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Jamie is a he, because I'm reading more closely. His wife had her baby 3 weeks ago, so congratulations.
Oh, that's neat.
Okay, do we have a voicemail to listen to? Or
We have many. Let's take one from overseas. This is from El Segundo, California.
Hi, Leo and Megan. This is Allison in El Segundo, California. And I was just wanting to follow up on the milk memos discussion from this week's podcast. Far be it from me to suggest that working mothers go in demanding their legal rights, but in California, it is actually now the law since 2002 that employers have to make significant efforts to give them a private place to express breast milk. They also have to provide a reasonable amount of break time for them to do it. Obviously, the best thing would be to talk to your manager with, you know, all the good reasons and everything. But when it comes right down to it, at least in California, it's actually part of the law.
Yeah.
The best way to look that up, I suppose, is to Google California lactation law, as that's what it's called, and you can check that out. Thanks for the podcast. I enjoy it while walking with my daughter.
Aww.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
That's great.
I had no idea.
Well, now we know.
Yeah, that's good. California lactation law.
Check your local state laws. They may also do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I bet they do. Once one state does it, all the states go.
Right. And I think if you go in, and I think when we talked to the milk memos moms, they said, you know, you go in and you ask, and all the people they've talked to, and once people have asked, they haven't turned them down.
They realize they better.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have more email?
I do. Yes. This is from Jennifer Jones in Arkansas. On the last podcast I listened to, the one about sleep, there was a listener question about a site to use to share photos, videos, and information about your new baby. She recommends a site, bundlo.com, bundlo.com. And that was, I mentioned, a site that we had already talked about. And I really like Bundlo a lot. So check that out. She says, I wish it had been around when my girls were babies. They're 5 and 2 now. So thanks, Jennifer from Arkansas, for that link. And we'll put a link to Bundlo in the show notes.
If you had to pick one thing that is probably the biggest problem for new parents, it's sleep.
Yes.
I mean, that's just, and it goes on for years.
Yes.
Yeah. And we had that.
That's a big problem for everybody.
Now they're teenagers. They sleep all the time. So. It's still
a problem.
It's still a problem, but it's a different kind of problem. Here's another call.
Hello, Megan and Leo. It's Pecklin, and we're just south of Boston. And finally, I've gotten caught up to the podcast. I've been found it a little bit late. Been listening to it at work evenings. I'm a stay-at-home dad, but I work part-time evenings, pushing electronic paper around. And I've been catching up with you guys there. On just a comment regarding the Spare the Rock episode, another great children's radio program being in Massachusetts here, tons of colleges in Boston, and one of the colleges, of course, Emerson College, has a great broadcasting school, and they have a program on Saturdays and Sundays, and they do stream on the net, called The Playground. And their radio station is WERS, and the website is WERS.org. It's a great station in general, a lot of good music. But The Playground is Saturdays and Sundays from 5 to 8, and it's hosted by students, and they play some great music, some of the same music that you hear on Spare the Rock. Just wanted to pass that along. And I wanted to send a thank you to the listener who sent out the suggestion about tux paint. My kids have been getting a load of fun out of tux paint. I have 4. I have 9, 7, 5, and 1. And everyone but the 1-year-old is getting a kick out of it, and I'm sure her day will come.
That's
I don't want to ramble on too much, guys. Keep up the good work. Enjoy the show, and we'll talk to you later.
Great. Thanks for the call. Tux paint is very cool, and actually somebody, I mentioned tux paint on Mac Break Wiggly, and somebody also, if you have a Mac, said, check out Beautiful Dorina, BEAUTIFUL. I don't have to spell that. Dorina, DORENA. Beautiful Dorina. You'll want to Google that because it's a different address, but it's a free program, painting program from the guy who did the original Kid Picks.
Oh.
And it's really great. So if you have a Mac, Beautiful Dorina is a really neat program. I think it's Mac only. I should check.
Huh. And Bill, who does Tux Paint, I've been emailing back and forth with him and try to get him on the show.
Oh, would love to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's neat. You got any more print?
I do. Do we have more time?
Yeah, let's go.
A few more minutes. This is from Charles P. He says, I'm with whomever it was that wrote in to say that their kid loves My Neighbor Totoro. It is actually pretty kosher for little kids, okay. Although there's some worry about a sick mom themes that might be a bit much at times. Though by the time the kid is old enough to pick up on it, they're probably old enough to deal with the idea. I mean, every fairy tale, like, the mom's dead anyway, so.
Right. Bambi. Although I cut out the Bambi mom get shot scene.
Really?
For the kids.
You
yeah.
did?
It kind of loses.
You can't edit art.
Yeah, you can. I did. I cut it out and then they never saw that scene.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Isn't that weird? I guess that's kind of creepy now in retrospect, but they never saw that scene. And the movie kind of still makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. My,
it's a pretty horrible scene.
Finding Nemo is tough too for my kids, but
yeah. I don't mind cutting that stuff out.
Yeah. Many of the other Miyazaki films are a bit more mature, but Totoro and possibly Kiki's Delivery Service are more a little kid-friendly. He says, I'm not a big anime fan overall, but I love Miyazaki's film. My 2-year-old daughter and 4-year-old son both love Totoro. And he says, so much that my 10-year-old is now sick of it, even though he loved it originally.
Yeah, that can happen too. Kids, it's funny, when they're really little, they'll watch a movie over and over and
yeah.
over again.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
We had Abby watch Wizard of Oz when she was really little, not realizing how scary the witch was.
Yeah.
But when she got to about 3 or 4, it was actually too scary for her to
really,
watch.
So yeah. Once
it got more scary because she understood it a little bit better. One more call, shall we?
Yes.
This is from Mrs. Flinger. Mrs. Flinger calls.
Hi, this is Mrs. Flinger. I was calling because I've been interested in finding out how many people have considered and successfully quit blogging. I know the Zero Boss just quit blogging after years and years and was a very successful blog, and I didn't know if that was very common. You don't hear people leaving very often, and I've been considering it. So I just thought that I would see if that was a topic you might touch. Thank you.
Don't leave, Mrs. Flinger.
Flinger has a very popular blog, and yeah, she...
Well, she also has a very noisy baby, so I think Mrs. Flinger has other things to do.
She has 2 kids. And she's a great blogger. She's very honest about, she's one of the very honest bloggers, very honest about like everything that happened after she was pregnant, like postpartum and stuff. I mean, that's what I really appreciate about her stuff. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there are lots of bloggers who quit.
It certainly happens with podcasts, so much so that there's a name for it, pod fading. Yeah. And I think that it probably happens with bloggers an awful lot. In fact,
blog fading.
I remember the Technorati stats, and I haven't seen them in a while, but like 80% of blogs stop posting after a year. What you're talking about though, Mrs. Flinger, is an established successful blog fading. My suggestion would be just keep going. Don't post as much.
Yeah.
Post as you feel like it.
Right.
And if you don't post for a month, big deal. You haven't closed the blog. You might put up a post saying, I'm really busy with the kids right now or whatever, or I've lost my mojo and I'm going to stop for a little while, but don't keep it. There's nothing that says you should have to shut this down.
Right. Yeah. I think I asked you to try to shut down my blog after the boys were born, because it was just too much. And I, what you ended up helping me do was just shut down comments, because that was just too crazy. There were too much spam. And then I just left it up there and I came back to it.
You came back to it, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
I think the comment is another issue, because you have to kind of maintain that. So turn off comments, put up a post saying, I'm going to take a little break, suggest that people subscribe to your RSS feed, or, I have and FeedBurner will do this for you, a blog by mail thing, so they can sign up for the mail, and then say, just sign up for my blog by mail. That way, when I start posting again, you'll get an email and you'll know that I'm posting again.
Yeah.
And I think that's fine. There's no. That's the beauty of this. It's the new media. There's no requirement.
Let's never pod fade, Leo. Let's pod fade for the today.
We're gonna pod fade today, but I don't ever want to stop doing this. I love doing this show. I am tempted. I have to say, I do a dozen podcasts a week, and it's a lot of work. But the rewards are so great, and I don't mean monetary rewards. I mean the satisfaction of our audience. It's just so great. I know you feel the same way.
I do.
There's no reason to stop. We just really love doing it. So
yeah.
Thank you, everybody. Yeah, we're done.
Yeah, give us an email, megan@twit.tv.
Or call our voicemail.
Yeah, call our voicemail.
Not toll-free, but still not expensive. 707-981-4602. And we love hearing from you. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.
On Jumping Monkeys.